The story of Easter continues as the risen Jesus appears to his disciples. His words to Thomas offer a blessing to all who entrust themselves in faith to the risen Lord. The Holy Gospel, according to John, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening, on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and who have yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. I want to talk to you about a journey today, or maybe a couple of journeys. We'll see. So this week, Jan and I took off and headed back to Dubuque, Iowa, to Wartburg Seminary. This is the 25th anniversary of my graduation from seminary. This summer, I'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of being ordained to Word and Sacrament Ministry. And each year, right after Easter, Wartburg Theological Seminary has a continuing ed event where they invite students to come back for a time of learning and connecting with old friends. This being an anniversary year, Jan and I headed back. So one of the quirks that you need to know about me is that when I jump on the road to do a long trip, I schedule things out. We had made an agreement, and the agreement between Jan and I was this. We were going to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning. So you can imagine, if you think of the old Western movies where the train conductor kind of walked up and down the platform of the train with their pocket watch, looking at how many minutes until the train is to depart, that was me. As soon as Jan had something done and put away or packed away, I would grab it and I would take it out to the vehicle and get it tucked in, and we were on the road promptly at 7:15. I was wound a little tight. We take off down the road, and it's usually a little quiet in the morning because I know what's going to happen. Jan is going to fall asleep, but it was probably a little quieter than normal. We get about 13 miles out of town, and she very quietly says, "I think I forgot my pills." We pull over. She looks in the back. Sure enough, there are no pills. Forward we go a little bit until the McKenzie exit, turn around and off we go. So we started our trip at 7:15 and at 8 o'clock and off down the road. Now, something that sometimes happens as we drive is I will ask her to read the texts for me for the coming week if I know that I'm preaching. Because while she sleeps, I drive in silence and I just ponder. Now, I had read these texts last week a couple of times because since I wasn't preaching on Easter, I was thinking about the texts already. So I was running through my mind what they were before I asked her to read them for me. And then it struck me that maybe these weren't the best texts to ask her to read. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. And there I was, driving down the interstate, smacked right in the face with the law. Here I had been all tight and wound up because of her mistake, her forgetting her pills, her getting in the car late. And I'm reminded of my own sinfulness, my own faults and my failures, my getting upset with her about something that really doesn't matter a hill of beans whatsoever. And that's exactly what the law does. The law is not something that is negative or to be afraid of or to condemn. The law is that which holds up a mirror to us so that we can see our own brokenness, and it drives us to the gospel, to the grace of God. And here's the deal. In this, the second Sunday in the season of Easter, one of the gifts that comes from Jesus' death and resurrection is this. That no matter what our fault, no matter what our failing, no matter what our sin, we can boldly come before God and confess it. And know that we will receive forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Not because of something that I've done, not because I'm inherently worthy or good or anything else. We are all far from that. We are given this gift of grace and mercy for Jesus' sake. So here we are in the midst of this season of Easter, thinking about the fact that we are people of law and gospel, people who are wrapped in God's grace, love, and mercy. From the time that we are born and then baptized, as a very, very young one, most of the time here in our Lutheran circles, we baptize at a font. And one of the gifts that's given in the baptismal chest is one of these felt blankets. It's like a swaddling blanket. And if the little one is little enough, I just loved it when the kids were at the point in time when their little legs would tuck up against their chest and their arms would come together, and you could take the swaddling blanket and you would wrap them tight in that little bundle. And they felt like they were wrapped in the womb yet. We wrap them in the love of Christ. That's part of the gift that happens at the baptismal font. And when someone is a little bit older, we had a baptism of a 20-something earlier this year on a Wednesday night. Our quilters gave this new one a larger quilt to wrap themselves in, to hold them in the love of Christ. We journey our entire life wrapped in that blanket, in that gift of God, in that grace and love and mercy, which is given to us in the baptismal waters, which are announced, this is for you. The entirety of our life, we're wrapped in that love.
But today, we are also dedicating a new piece of liturgical work for here in the congregation. And that is our funeral pall. So you see it large over there to the side. I can't say who made it. They're too embarrassed to allow me to say that. But if you read this, you can find out who it was. But that beautiful work of art that is not a kit, it is a creation from an artist's eye. The beauty of a cross in the midst of us, in the midst of it, reminding us that it is Jesus' death and resurrection that gives us the gift of grace, the symbols of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian symbols there in the middle, the gold rays going out from the cross itself, almost as if Hallelujah is being sung behind it. And if you look at the quilting then, it is quilted in rays going out. After worship, I invite you to go take a closer look at it, because around the fringes, there are waves that have been quilted in, reminding us of our baptism. And to the side of it is another small pall to be used when there's a cremation. So how's a funeral pall used? So what would happen is, on the day of a funeral, as we gather together, the casket is normally placed back where the welcome center is, and the desk that is there is spun around and moved toward the middle doors. The casket is open, and when, just before it's time for worship, the family gather around the casket one last time, and when they're ready, the funeral director closes the casket. The funeral pall would then be placed over the casket. It is a symbol. It is a reminder that our entire lives are wrapped in the grace of God. It is a reminder that baptism holds us. And because of our baptism, we can be bold enough to come to Christ for forgiveness of sins. If the person was a veteran, the flag would be laid out on top of the casket, and the funeral pall would go over top of the flag and the casket, a symbol that even the military service is wrapped up in the life of our Christian faith. If there's a funeral spray of flowers on top, they would be brought forward and they'd be placed on a special table up front here. And we're not going to force anyone to use the funeral pall, but we hope that as a family you'll talk about it, think about it, and choose to use it. Just like a child, when they're baptized, often wears a special gown as we worship together at a funeral. We would wear a special gown as well. So that the entire journey of our life is wrapped in that baptismal grace, mercy, and love. I invite you, if you would, to just share a prayer with me as we bless and dedicate this. Sisters and brothers, today we give thanks to God and we seek God's blessing as we set apart these funeral palls to the glory of God. We give you thanks, O God, creator of the universe, for you have enriched our lives with every good gift. You have commanded us to show your splendor to our children, and you have invited us to praise you with lives of joy, justice, and love. Send your blessing on these palls, which are set apart today. May they be reminders that in baptism we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and that in death we are received into arms of your mercy. To you, O God, be all honor and glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. We live lives which are journeys from baptismal font to grave continuously, coming before our gracious God, seeking forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Amen.